Right, Revelation chapter 14 this evening. Revelation chapter 14, and we're going to be looking at verse 13 this evening. I was going to do them together, but we'll just cover verse 13 tonight. Just a couple of things. Just pray for John and Jess. You notice they're not here tonight. They're not well, so pray for them. You know, if they didn't kiss so much, they wouldn't make each other sick. So they'll be watching, so you're welcome, Jess and John. Pray for them. And pray for Leanne. She's not well either, so pray for her. I'm pretty well better, but a lot of yuck stuff going around. So just pray for each other. Pray for Sister Maureen, Brother Bill, Sister Vivian, Sister Irene, and all those that haven't been able to be here for a little while. Pray for them. Isaac and Rachel. Pray for Rachel's mother. Her name is Robin. She had a pretty bad fall this morning and had to be rushed in for some surgery on her leg. And that's why they're not here tonight. And that's why he had to rush off quickly after service this morning. So if you would remember Robin in prayer, please. That's Rachel's mum. So please pray for Robin that the Lord would just help her meet the needs that she has. Don't forget over 50s fellowship, ladies at Sister Jenny's and fellas here at the church this coming Thursday. And then street evangelism Friday night. We'll meet here at the church at 6:30. So just remember those few things this week. Okay, Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13. We'll read verse 12 and 13 again together. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours, and their works do follow them. We notice this morning, in verse 12, we notice three main words, patience, commandments, and faith. And if we're going to keep the commandments of God, our lives need to be bookended with both patience and faith. They're things that a Christian must have an abundance of in their lives. And in context here with these tribulation saints, what we see demonstrated by these saints through the tribulation is patience and faith as they keep the commandments of God, while the very devil himself rages war against them for being obedient to the commandments of God. And we saw that when we look back in Revelation chapter 13. Here in verse 13, we see he sees that in verse 12, but then he heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, in verse 13, I heard a voice from heaven, and that voice from heaven said to him, Write, and this is what he wrote, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. There's seven times this word blessed is mentioned in the book of Revelation. I'll give them to you and I'll give you the reference and read each one. They're interesting as you work your way through them. Revelation chapter 1 and verse 3 says, Blessed is he that readeth and they that hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. That's the first time the word blessed is mentioned in the book of Revelation. And you're blessed if you read the book. You're blessed if you hear the words of the book. And you're blessed if you keep the words of the book. There's reading, there's hearing, and there's doing. And you're blessed if you read, hear, and do. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 13, that's our text verse, and this is the second time it's mentioned. And I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. The next one is Revelation chapter 16 and verse 15, says, Behold, I came as a thief. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. Blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments. Revelation chapter 19 and verse 9. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. Well, that'd be a blessed thing. That'd be a blessed time to be called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And it says there that blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. I've had some good meals. I've been to some good wedding feasts and all those things. But, you know, that marriage supper of the Lamb, that's going to be something else, isn't it? And I don't know if my finite mind can comprehend even the beginnings of it, or even the trimmings, the garnishings on the supper. You know, it's beyond our comprehension what that's going to be like. But it's going to be a blessing, and blessed are you if you're called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 6 says, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection, on such the second death hath no power. Praise God for that. If I die before Jesus comes back, if you die before Jesus comes back, you're going to be a part of the first resurrection. And the Bible says in Revelation 20 and verse 6, blessed and holy are ye that have part in the first resurrection. The reason why is because the second death had no power over you. That first death evidently got you, because you're part of the first resurrection. That first death got you, but that second death's got no power over you, because you're part of that first resurrection. What a blessed thing. Revelation chapter 22 and verse 7. Revelation 22, 7. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book. And lastly, in Revelation 22 and verse 14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. Some good truths in every one of those blessed in the book of Revelation. Here we see in our text verse, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Now that's this is often a verse that's used at funerals and different things. And there's no doubt that that's a general truth, and it's a blessed truth, isn't it? That's a blessed general truth of any soul. Blessed is any soul that dies in the Lord. Amen. And if you die and you die in the Lord, you're blessed. It's a blessed thing to die in the Lord. If you're not in the Lord and you die, it's a cursed thing. It's a doomed thing. But it's a blessed thing to die in the Lord. Because we know, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 8, that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And when we die, we're going to vacate this body, this temple, where we're leaving the temple. We're leaving the tent, we're leaving the tabernacle, we're going to vacate, and to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And so if you're in the Lord, you are blessed when you die in the Lord. And that's a general truth. And we need to be reminded. Let me remind you about this in the context. Now, there's a lot that we can draw principles from in the scriptures. And there's a lot that we can draw true biblical principles from that apply to us from the scriptures, even though it's not written directly to us. Because this verse is not written directly to you and I. The general principle is true. The general principle is true that we're blessed to die in the Lord. But notice what it says here. It says, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. So, I can draw a general truth from that it's a blessing. You're blessed if you die in the Lord. But the strict context is in regards to those that die from this point forward in the tribulation. That's what the word henceforth means. It means from this point forward. Blessed, because we're talking about tribulation period. We're talking about it's the comfort. And remember, it's the comfort of the saints. And it's like God's just shedding a little bit of light. It's a little bit of oasis in amongst a whole lot of judgment. and he's saying, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. From henceforth. From now on. The reality is there's probably going to be an awful lot of saints that die during that last half of the tribulation period. There's a lot of saints, there's a lot of tribulation saints, a lot of people that have been saved during the first half of the tribulation period underneath the preaching of the 144,000 and the two witnesses. There's multitudes saved, and we're coming in now, we're getting ready to step in this coming Sunday. We'll step into that first vile judgment, and what we're going to see is through this last 3.5 year period of tribulation period, God just turns the heat right up. And no doubt there's going to be a lot of saints that are going to die during that last 3.5 year period of the tribulation period. But God says they're blessed if they die in the Lord. Blessed are they if they die in the Lord. Praise God for that. So our verse says, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Let me make this statement. I made reference to this verse this morning, but let me just repeat it for you again. There's two ways you can die. You either die in the Lord or you die in your sin. In John 8, verse 24 said, I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. If Jesus doesn't come back, you're gonna die. You have a choice of either dying in Jesus or dying in your sin. And that equation, the outcome of that is based on whether you believe on Jesus Christ. If you believe on Jesus Christ to the saving of your soul, when you die in the Lord and you're blessed. If you reject the salvation that's in Christ, you refuse to believe the gospel message, you reject Jesus as your saviour, you'll die in your sin and you're doomed and cursed to an eternal second death in hell and the lake of fire. That's it. That's the only two options. And so no wonder the scriptures say, blessed are they that die in the Lord. Praise God. I'm glad I'm in the Lord. Aren't you? You glad you're in the Lord? Everything else might be a mess, but if you're in the Lord, it's okay. Maybe you're coming down the end of your life, maybe bad health. Who knows what might happen tomorrow on the way home tonight. If you're in the Lord, it's okay. If God takes you out and you're in the Lord, you're blessed. Praise God, you know, I'm ready to go. I am. And I'm not old. And you know, like, when I was younger, And even when I say when I was younger, when I was, you know, in my 20s, and in church then, saved, and you're hearing old people testify, and they're saying they just want to go to glory, and they've just had enough. I'm like, what's wrong with you? Life's so good. Got a young wife, got a couple of young kids, you know, it's exciting. Yeah, I'm ready to go. I'm ready. Enough heartache, enough pain. Let's just get out of here.
Amen.
Not because of you two. not because of you two. Yeah. But it's that way, isn't it? The longer you go, you're like, man, heaven's going to be good. It's just heaven is going to be good. And I understand those testimonies now. So it says here in the next portion, it says, yea, save the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours. Now notice the contrast here. Jump up to verse 11. And this is in regards to those that reject the gospel message during this tribulation period, and they worship the beast, and they worship the image, they take the mark. It says there in verse 10, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. Verse 11 goes on and says, and the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. Notice the statement. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. So we've got a contrast. We've got those that worship the beast, they die, they have no rest. Day, nor night. Those that believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, they die in the Lord, they're blessed, and rest is coming. Rest is coming. You're weary, you're tired, it's just getting old, it's all right, rest is on its way. A few more days, we're going to get that mansion over the hilltop, and I'm glad, I don't have, the stone is not my pillow, like the song says. I got one of those really good bamboo memory foam things. Paid too much money for it, but it's awesome. I just love my, don't you love your pillow? I mean, I don't love anyone's pillow like I love my pillow. Isn't that right? There's something about pillows. I don't know how we got on there, but anyway. Just over the hilltop, talking about rest. We've been away for a week. Haven't had my pillow, haven't had my bed. You don't rest well. You get home, you get your bed, you get your pillow. You rest. And I'm thankful that I can look forward, spiritually speaking, to an eternal rest. All labor is done, all battles are done, all heartaches are done, all tears are done, all sin is done, it's all finished, it's a day of eternal rest. Looking forward to that day. Looking forward to that day. I trust you're looking forward to that day. But you can only look forward to that day if you're in the Lord. And that's it. That's the hope of the Christian, that we can look forward to that day. Because I'm in Jesus, I'm in the Lord, there's a rest coming my way. But until we get there, there's a lot of work to be done. There's labour to be done. There's the gospel to be preached. There's the lost to be won. There's young Christians to be discipled. There's church members to be cared for. There's a church to keep going. There's just work to be done. Work to be done. There's messages to prepare. There's messages to preach. There's study to be done. There's a Bible to be read. There's prayer to be had. There's labour for the Christian to be done now. But thank God there's a rest on its way. There's a rest on its way. It says those that worship the image of the beast take the mark. They've got no rest. But we see these saints, it says here, that they may rest from their labours. What was the labours? Well, I'd say just trying to survive. Moreover, just trying to survive and keep the commandments of God in such a hostile environment. We got no idea. In comparison to what they're going to go through, we got it easy, folks. We got it easy. Thank God for that. The saints of God in all dispensations have had a promise of rest. God has always promised his people rest. Whether it's the Old Testament, whether it's the church age, whether it's the tribulation saints, just like I said this morning, every people group of God, Old Testament, church, tribulation saints, they've all had commandments to follow. Every one of them, commandments. But every one of them have also been promised a rest. Listen to this in Joshua chapter 1 and verse 13. Remember the word which Moses, the servant of the Lord, commanded you, saying, the Lord your God hath given you rest and hath given you this land. The land of Canaan was to be a land of rest for them. And he had promised them a rest from their enemies. He promised them a land that flowed with milk and honey. He promised them a land of rest. And that's the Old Testament. Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28, to the Christian he says, come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm glad when I found Jesus. We sang, was it this morning or this evening? We sang Satisfied. Did we sing Satisfied this morning? Oh, thank the Lord. When I found him, he satisfied my soul, and I found a peace and a rest in Jesus. Found a rest. And thank God for that. What a promise. Promise of rest. So, it says that they're promised a rest from their labours. And it says their works do follow them. and their works do follow them. Let me just make a few statements on this work. So here we got, in the context, we've got tribulation saints, and the comfort for the saints is patience and faith, follow the commandments. There's a blessed are ye if you die in the Lord. There's a rest from your labours. And then he said, your works will follow you. Their works will follow them. And I want to say to you this evening that your works are going to follow you. Yes. Just as these tribulation saints have been promised that even though they have a rest in front of them, their labours are also going to follow them. And so it is for you and I. We have a rest in front of us. What we need is we need patience and faith right now to keep the commandments of God and be the Christians we ought to be. We need to be sure that we're blessed if we die in the Lord. We need to be sure that there's a rest promised in front of us. But until then, there is labour to be done. There's work to be done. And we can be sure that that labour and that work that we do for the Lord will follow us. It's following. It's going to come with us. Now, again, whether you're lost or saved, doesn't matter, you're sitting here this evening, you're watching online, whatever, it doesn't matter, lost or saved, your work's following you. Your work's following you. Turn with me, if you would please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, here we see the works following the Christian. And where they follow them to is the judgment seat of Christ. Our works will follow us into eternity. Being saved is a good thing, isn't it? Being a Christian, having your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life, that's a good thing. But that's not the only thing. There's more to the Christian life than just being saved. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be sure of that. And this draws this truth out. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And verse 11 starts off talking about the foundation. For other foundation can no man lay than is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. It says every man's work, that's labor, right? So your labour, your work, shall be made manifest. That means it's going to be revealed, it's going to be made known, it's going to be seen. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work, of labour, of what sort it is. If any man's work or labour abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work or labour shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? And it carries on. Here's the reality, folks. You're saved, got your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Praise God, hallelujah. And that's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing to be saved. Rejoice to be saved. But then I have to embrace the reality that my labour is going to follow me to the judgment seat of Christ, and it's going to get put in the fire. And that which I've done for Jesus, and that which I've done which glorifies God and is pleasing to God, and that which I've done by faith and with the right motive and all those things, is going to abide the fire. But everything that I've done for self-promotion, everything that I've done for greedy means, everything I've done for the sake of pride, even if I think it's for the Lord, but the motive is wrong. Although it's going to get burned up. Everything I've done for myself, everything I've done that isn't for the Lord, it's going. It's going to be burned up. It's going up in smoke. Going up in smoke. So let me ask you this question. Over this last week, over this last 12 months, how many hours of labor, how much have you done that you believe will abide the fire? It's following you. It's going to follow you. See, what this should do, this should help us reset our priorities in life. Right? So what I need to do is, hey, folks, it's really easy. It's really easy to get distracted, isn't It's really easy to lose focus. It's really easy to get distracted on the wrong things. And it's really easy to lose our focus of living with eternity in view. And so let me just encourage you to do a checkup, do a self-examination of your labors, your work, and let me encourage you. It's a blessing in the fact that my work, God's not going to just forget what I do. He's not. He is faithful to remember. What's that verse? I had it there and now it's gone. The labor of love. It's left me. It'll come back here in a minute. Nah, it's right there on the tip of my tongue, but I can't get it out right. Anyway, God's faithful to remember our work. He's faithful to remember our labors of love. The verse I'm thinking of talks about labor of love. Go with me now to Revelation chapter 20, if you would please. Revelation 20. Here we see the works following the lost. So we're saved, works following us. And it's a blessing. It's a blessing that it follows us because that means if I do the right kind of work, if I get my priorities right, and I get my balance right in my daily living, if I get my balance right, it means I'm going to have a good judgment day. It means I get to stand before the judgment seat of Christ and I'm going to give an account, for the deeds done in my body and whether they be good or whether they be evil. And I'm going to give my works are going to be put in the fire. And if I've got the balance right, it's going to be a good day for me. And it's going to be a good day for you. It's going to be a good day. Because what we want those crowns, we want those rewards, because what we're going to do is we're going to turn around and we're going to be able to lay them at the feet of Jesus. We're going to be able to cast our crowns at his feet. But if all you've done, you're saved and that's it, and all you've done is worried about yourself and your flesh and selfish, and it's been a selfish life instead of a selfless life, and it's all about you and not all about Jesus, and you're going to be saved, yet so as by fire. And I want to say to you, that's like saved by the skin of your teeth. Saved, but nothing else. Saved, and you're going to have nothing to cast at Jesus' feet. And that would be a shame. And you might think, well, it's no big deal. It will be a big deal in that day. And that's where, again, you need to get your focus right. It's not about now, it's about then. And so I need to be making decisions that are going to give me a good day then, not an easy day now. And so often we make choices and decisions based on how things are going to affect us now. But we need to be making decisions and choices and getting our priorities in life to a point where we're going to have a good day then. Not so focused about having a good day today. Revelation 20. Here we have the great white throne. It's the judgment of the lost. Verse 13 says, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, what? They were judged every man according to their works. So at the judgment seat of Christ, we got works, and they're going to follow the believer. At the great white throne of judgment, the judgment of the lost, they got their works, their labour is going to follow them there, and they're going to be judged according to their works. Now, the believer isn't judged according to our work, based on our works for salvation. It's for reward, not salvation. Here, they're going to get judged according to their works, and I believe, and I know people have different ideas about this, but I believe there'll be different levels of judgment in the lake of fire. I really do believe that. Yeah. And otherwise, why the judgment? Just put them all in. If it's a general judgment and there's no degrees of judgment, what's the point of the judgment? It's superfluous. It's a waste of time. But here, the lost are judged according to their works. And I've heard some preachers say, well, if you're not going to get saved, you might as well just go out there and have fun. Well, that's not the case. That's not the case, because just because you're lost and going to hell, if all you do is go out there and get deeper in sin and worse, it's you're just adding wrath upon wrath upon wrath, and that judgment's getting heavier, and that judgment's getting hotter, and that judgment's getting more severe throughout eternity. I believe that. Believe that. And so they're going to get judged according to their works. And that seems like a just thing, doesn't it? Doesn't that sound like a just God? That God wouldn't just judge everybody in the lake of fire generally, and it doesn't matter how much light they had, how much biblical not, how many times they rejected the gospel, all these things, doesn't matter what they did, they just get all the same judgment. No, it seems like a just God, a balanced God, a good God would judge them righteously. And now I believe that's what he does. But how they're judged is according to their works. So let me tell you what won't follow you. Your labor will, your bank account won't. It's not coming. Your possessions, they're not going with you. They are not. There's a stupid song. I think it's a country music song. Talks about there's no trailer hitch on a hearse or some stupid thing like that. I can't remember. So I listened to it one day on YouTube. It's some funny thing. Talk, but the biblical principle is like a biblical principle that you don't hook a trailer. There's no trailer going on a hearse. You don't take all your possessions with you. No, your bank account's not going with you. Your possessions aren't going with you. Your position in society's not going with you. Eternity doesn't care where you stand on the social scale of the society. Utterly irrelevant. Your popularity, it's not going with you. Your works will. What will follow you is your work, everything you do. What do you do? So, what we need to be sure is, folks, let me challenge you as we close, we need to be careful, and can I just encourage you as a church, praise God for all you do, and I'm not being critical by any means, and I don't know what you do throughout the week and all those things, but what I want to do is I want to encourage you to examine your labour. And ask yourself, how much that's following me is going to abide the fire? Now, I know it's hard. I really do. I remember working, you know, full-time job and all those sorts of things. And I did. I used to wrestle over this thing. And I don't know if I had the answer, because I'd be like, but God, I work 10, 12 hours a day. And I guess this is the answer. This is the answer. I can go to work, and I can work at the smelter, or I can work out on the cattle property, or I could work at in Darwin. I was working on the city council, picking up rubbish, and it was a great job. But you know, what I realized is, no, I'm not preaching all day, every day. Not doing that. But what I am doing is I'm going to work because God's given me the health and the strength that I have, and I can go to work and I can be a good testimony. I can be a good Christian in front of my work colleagues. I can be a good husband and provide for my wife and my children. And I can do all of that to the glory of God. And that work is following me, even though I'm not out on the street preaching and I'm not leading someone to the Lord, but I'm living right and I'm doing right and I'm following the commandments of God, doing what I'm supposed to be doing as a man. Right? And although what I'm wanting to say to you is, don't go to an extreme where you think, well, I'm going to have to quit my job and go to the mission field. That's not what I'm saying. If God's calling you to mission field, go. But that's not what I'm saying. You can serve God, and those labour and that work that you do on a daily basis can follow you if you do it with the right mindset, with the right heart and the right motive. If you're doing it to gain, and you're doing it for selfish gain and for yourself, and it's all about you and your pride and your possessions, all about you, it's not following you. Well, it'll follow you, but it's going to burn. But if you go to work with the mindset of that you're going to work worshiping God and thanking Him, and you're doing it to glorify His name and all the rest of it, that's following you, and that's going to abide the fire. It really will. For sure. Amen. All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're thankful, Lord, for your word, just the instruction in it. Pray that you'd help us, Lord, to make serious examinations in our own hearts and in our own lives. Help us to make the adjustments we need to and the application in each and every one of our lives. Lord, pray that you'd bless us. We do pray for Robin. We pray for Rachel's mum. We just ask that you'd bless Isaac and Rachel, and that you'd watch over them, and that you'd strengthen Robin, and that you'd help her to heal well from this fall. And Lord, we pray for all those that are unwell. We ask you'd minister grace to them, and that you'd just touch their bodies and strengthen them and bless them. Lord, do pray for the Rafs while they go away these couple of days. Pray you'd watch over them, keep them safe. Thankful for them. Lord, we pray you'd bless their time away. And Lord, we just ask you to be with Brother Neil and Sister Emma, that you'd strengthen them. Pray you'd be with them. And Lord, pray that the camp meeting over there would be refreshing to them and an encouragement to them. And we ask you'd watch over them. And please watch over Brother Neil as he goes down to Argentina to visit our missionary down there, the Patillos. And Lord, we just ask you'd watch over that. And Father, we ask your blessing in Jesus' name. Amen.